2, 1 Timothy chapter 2. And once again, we'll try to be as long as we possibly can. That always gets a big round of applause and sound of excitement. The preacher's going to preach long tonight. Let's have it. Let's praise the Lord. When I was a boy, which wasn't long ago, the highlight of the year was tent revival.
Amen.
They used to set up a big 1,000-seat or so tent on the college grounds every August, and Dr. Lakin, all right, you two, quit talking.
I knew
when he said, "Leah," he wasn't asking for your phone number. So but anyway, Dr. Lakin used to hold that a lot. I'm just a boy now. Us boys, we were boys, and part of the reason why it was such a highlight is because it was on the college grounds, and we just thought it was cool to be outside, even for church. But there was a pond not too far away from the, and my mother and dad were always there an hour or so early because of choir practice. So that meant us boys had almost an hour before services to get right with God and pray and fast and intercede for the Lord. And I don't know. Now quit laughing at me as if that wasn't true. I don't know how true it is here, but a certain time of year, Michigan would have these little frogs about the size of your thumbnail. I don't know if you ever seen any frogs about the size of your thumbnail. And that was as big as they got. I don't know why. Sometimes the whole road would be covered and you couldn't stop until they hopped across. So you sound like popcorn going off. I just thought I'd throw that out there. That 10-year-old boy that's captured inside this 66-year-old body just showed up. My brother, bless his heart, he's 4 years younger than me. We're in church, and he had a pocket full of those little toads. He got fidgety. And I can just hear somebody, this is a sanctum. It's just not sanctimony. Over pious. But one night, my brother, I had been saved. Mike, this is 1963. I had been saved for 4 years. And my brother, just 8 years old, 1963, in the tent revival, started crying during the invitation. My dad's first thought was he was just getting restless. He's sleeping, getting restless. And during the invitation, Dr. Lakin had preaching. Mike started pulling my dad's coattail. Dad said, "Hush it." But he just kept crying. He kept pulling on his coattail. Finally, Dad stopped, and the choir was singing, the congregation was singing, souls were being saved. And my dad said, "What do you want, boy?" "Daddy, I need to get saved." Dad said he felt about that big. But my daddy took my younger brother off to one of the personal workers' tents where souls were dealt with. And one of the deacons, one of my dad's friends, Lay Gene Morgan, all of them gone to be with the Lord except for my brother, showed my brother how to be saved. The year before, same tent, same atmosphere. Probably Dr. Lakin, my sister went forward. And one day, I was reading the biography of Dr. Lakin, 50 years of hoeing and planting and something like that. And there was a picture. Someone had taken a picture on the school grounds. I immediately took that to the print shop and had that thing enlarged. Took a picture of it with my phone and sent it to my brother and sister. And I said, "This is where you guys got saved." Mike, of course, and Paula, both of them responded and said, thank you very much. That meant so much to me. Human flesh is human flesh, but thank God we have these seasons where we come apart and hear the word of God.
Amen.
Let's take care of a little bit of business. I don't know why I said that. I really don't know why. I just did. Anybody bring a visitor tonight? Right there.
Five.
Regular people?
Nope. All have not been here.
First of all, I don't believe you. Nobody. You don't have that many friends.
Well, I have three of them and then two parents.
Anybody that would cheat an old man at chess has got to have.
I didn't cheat.
Said, "Well, I play a game of chess, Brother Griffiths." I said, "Sure." Three moves, checkmate. Oh, it was four. So you have five. That's 25. Oh, yeah. Just because I got beaten chess doesn't mean I can't add.
That's actually multiplication.
Huh? Well, five fives is 25. No? Yeah. What? You got to go to the bathroom?
I gotta go.
How many did you bring, sweetheart?
Five members and three
non-members. Oh, that's 15. That's 15. That's 20 points right there. Bless your heart. Let's do this. Let's extend it into the morning, okay? Because we've got, it's kind of close. Anybody could win. And you three, I'll tell you what, I said I was going to give away 2 weeks of camp. I'll give away 3 weeks of camp. Okay, let's extend. What?
I have two.
Cheater. First timers. There's not that many people here. What's that be? How many, son?
Two.
First timers or regulars?
No, first timers. Well, they've been here before, but they're not.
Okay, well, I'll count that. Well, that's 25, 25, and 20. Yes, sir.
I have two.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
That's how that works. That if I give away 3 weeks of camp, that is what, $2,270. See? You did marry a dummy. Close, but no cigar. That's a lot of money, no matter by anybody's standard. But I don't look at it as a gift. I look at it as an investment. I genuinely look at it as an investment. Somebody's going to come to camp. Like those days of the tent meetings. Somebody's going to get under conviction. Somebody's going to get saved. Somebody's going to give their life to Christ. That's an investment. That's not a gift. So, thank you. We'll go on that tomorrow. Remember who you are, because I didn't write your names down, but I've got that right here. Take your Bibles once again. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I don't know if I should say it like this, but the Lord laid this message on my heart this morning when I was in one of those spare rooms reading my Bible and trying to get a hold of God. He laid this on my heart. It's a relatively new message, but it's an old thought. I exhort, verse 1. There's three things that preaching ought to do. It's not preaching if it doesn't do these three things: reprove, rebuke, and exhort. All preaching should be teaching, but not all teaching is preaching. Did you hear that? All preaching should be, you should get something from the scriptures. No matter if it's so loud and I sweat and spit or anybody all over the first five rows, there should be some information out there, right? Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. We're living in a time, preacher. When I went, Jared Williams, he surrendered to preach at Camp Victory.
Amen.
I'm preaching a revival meeting in St. Louis, Missouri, I believe his ordination was Saturday, and our meeting was ending Friday. Friday night, St. Louis, Missouri. Jared wanted me to come preach his charge. I got up, it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That meant I had to get up quite early that Saturday morning. Drive across the state of Illinois and the state of Indiana into the state of Ohio to preach a young man's charge. I remember him saying this, and I didn't take it as an offense, so you shouldn't either. But when he was giving his testimony and introducing me, he said, you know, the first time I heard Brother Griffiths, I thought, this man has issues. Well, his issue was that he was not right with God. I do have issues, but you can't take anything for it. And I got up and preached the charge to him, and I said, I looked right at him, and I said, I do not envy you at all. I do not envy you at all. Now, you look at me, folks, and you remember the words of this old preacher. I'm looking at this young man who's on the threshold of the rest of his ministry. It was fresh and it was new and it was exciting. It was a pioneer and an adventure. And I looked right at young Jared and I said, I do not envy you. Because the Bible says, to preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. That means this, there's going to be times when preaching is in season. And there's going to be times when preaching is out of season. What does that mean? There's going to be times when preaching is exciting and people will come for miles around to hear preaching. And there's going to come a time when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn their ears away from the truth. And believe me, that time come. I looked at it, Jared, and I said this. I said, you know, when I was your age, preaching was in season. I did not hesitate as a young preacher boy to drive clear across the state to hear one man preach, get in my car, and go all the way home. Because with preaching was in season, and we loved it. I still am that way. But we've got people today who won't drive across the town to hear preaching. Because it's out of season. It's out of season. And Paul said here, I exhort. Reprove means to correct. I reprove, exhort, reprove, rebuke means to convince. The word reprove, exhort, I'm getting it all mixed up. Reprove, rebuke means to correct, and exhort means to challenge. Can I challenge you tonight? You know what Paul's doing here? He said, I exhort, therefore. First of all, he said, I exhort, I challenge. Please, Christian friend, I'm telling you there's a secret out there that literally unlocks the door to greatness. And I'm not talking about our greatness and our fame and our infamy or whatever you want to call it. There is a key and there's a door that we're afraid to open up. And we're lazy to open it up. I exhort, therefore, first of all, prayer. Supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. We are missing everything that God has for us by our lack of prayer. We are absolutely, you know what we've done? We have literally tied the hands of omnipotence by our prayerlessness. We have a God in heaven. I love this. We have a God in heaven, kids. If the adults are not going to listen, if I can drive this truth into your heart, start to pray. Learn to pray. It's the best thing that will ever happen to any Christian. Learn to pray. Need. Are we having fun yet? I exhort. Now, boys and girls and moms and daddies, go home and pray. Jesus will love you. No, I'm preaching now. Get off your sorry duff and go home and pray. So I don't like that. You listen to me. You would not disapprove of what I just got through saying if you were a man and woman of prayer. Because I guarantee you, prayer changes your outlook on everything. Absolutely alters every fiber of your being. Men ought always to pray, Jesus Christ said, and faint not. His disciples watched him come out of the shadows into the pre-dawn dusk after watching the great master who knew how to pray in Luke chapter 11. Stood there slack-jawed, mouth wide open. One of his disciples got up the courage to walk up to the great prayer warrior himself and say, Lord, teach us to pray. You know what they saw, brother? They saw someone who knew how to pray, which exposed their inability to pray. Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples by the river to pray. Oh, thou, Psalm 63 says, oh, thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. We're supposed to pray. Jesus Christ said, when you pray, don't be like the scribes and the Pharisees that make long speeches in the corner places for the show. But he said, go to your closet. And after you shut the door, talk to him who is in secret. You know what you're doing? You're taking the key of omnipotence and setting God free to do what he wants to do in the lives of his people. I'm having fun. Bless your sweethearts. This world is tore up and is upside down. What is right is wrong. What is wrong is right. Good is considered evil and evil is considered good.
Amen.
Illustration. Let's have an illustration. Our president says of MS-13, that vile immigrant group that comes up and kills and murders and mayhems, he called them rightfully so animals.
Amen.
Let's back up and say that again, because I doubt seriously there's a patriotic bone in this place right now. He called them rightfully so animals.
Right.
And he said, we're clamping down on them. We're throwing them into jail. But you let me, oh, thou that hearest prayer. The Bible tells us in Psalms 80, oh, I don't want to get too far from that thought. He calls them, rightfully so, animals. The people on the left got mad at the president for calling them animals. What do you call a dog?
Right, that's right.
What do you call someone who kills for money? Who pumps drugs into the veins of our children and rapes our daughters?
Right.
Animals!
Yeah.
And David said in Psalm 80, oh God, shepherd of Israel, give us your ear. Look at me and remember the words of this Baptist preacher. He said, how long will you be angry with the prayers of your people? We are a praying-less people. We don't pray like we should. Are we having fun yet? You don't only say that because I see your faces. And I know that this goes over like a lead balloon with some people, and you can't hide it. You can't hide it. Now, every now and then, stop and say to that person who's going, are we having fun yet? Are we having fun yet? I'm having fun. And we stand back and we blow hard about our political parties and we say this and we say that and we say, God bless America. Then get on your knees and pray. Get in the quiet place of prayer and talk to God tonight. If you're a genuine patriotic American who loves the Lord, go to your closet. For your Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. God doesn't hear our prayers simply because we don't ask. James says, you have not because you ask not. And when we do ask, We ask amiss that we might consume it upon our own lust. We have this for, therefore, this confidence that whatever we ask the Father, according to his will, he heareth us. And as the Father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. What are you trying to say, Brother Griffiths? Which of you having a son shall ask a piece of bread? Your boys and your daughters, they won my heart. And I'm not their daddy. We're not even blood related. But they love me. They sit on my lap, see me coming. They know I give suckers away, but that's okay. We love him because he first loved us.
Right.
Do you hear me? Sounds awfully selfish on our part. We love him because he loves us. If he didn't love us, we wouldn't love him. We love him because he first loved us. Which of you having a son, Jesus Christ said, in his process of teaching his children the importance of prayer, which of you having a son, ask for a piece of bread, you give him a stone? Or he asks for an egg, and you give him a scorpion? Then he says this, Daddy, Mama, if ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good gifts to them that ask? Amen. I'm trying my best to get to my three main points, but you folks won't let me. Shame on you. My grandmother would go, crookie, crookie, crookie. We have not because we ask not. We pray less today than any generation in our lifetime. We are not men and women of prayer, and we wonder why things are in the shape that they're in tonight. We have not because we ask not. And Paul told young Timothy, a preacher who should pray. If anybody should pray, a preacher should pray.
Sure.
What was it? Remember the ministration to the saints in the book of Acts, how the widows of the Grecians were starving, and the Grecian Hellenistic Jews were complaining to the apostles that their moms and their dads, their old widows and their orphans were getting, were not having their proper needs met. And Peter stood up and said, it's not meet that we should set tables. He said, choose you out seven men of honest report, full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Look at me, that we might give ourselves wholly to prayer and scriptures. Yes, brother. If anybody should pray more, it ought to be a man of God who has the time of prayer. But you remember the words of this Latter-day Baptist preacher. It wasn't a daddy that prayed this boy into the ministry. It was a gray-haired mama who got along with God. Who one day come out of the back bedroom wiping tears from her eyes when her boy had long hair and was rebellious towards the things of God. She come out of that back bedroom wiping tears from her eyes. She wasn't a preacher. She's just a frail, arthritic woman. And come out of that back bedroom, my dad reading the paper, saw his wife crying and said, what's the matter, Louise? And she said, between the tears and the sobs, she said, God just told me that he was going to use George to reach young people. Did you hear that? You know how many we've had at Camp Victory, young people, since 1985? Almost 60,000. It seems like God might have been answering that prayer. Don't you think so? You have not because you ask not. And when we ask, we sometimes ask amiss. And I don't want to retread an old territory that we got on last night. That blind man Bartimaeus said, have mercy upon me. Jacob, that usurper, said, I'll not let you go till you bless me. Yes, sometimes we pray for ourselves. And God in his infinite goodness and mercy and long-suffering blesses us in spite of our bad motives. Jesus Christ said, when you pray, son, when you pray, honey, when you pray, sir, when you pray, brother, when you pray, mama, enter in your closet, shut the door. For your Father that is in secret, heareth thee and shall reward thee openly. Paul tells his young preacher boy, I exhort you therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. I'm not going to spend much time on that because I have a text. Really, I do, and I haven't even got to it yet. There's four things that are in prayer. Four things that we do when we go to get alone with God. First of all, I exhort that first of all, supplications. What is supplications? You know what the word supplicate means? It means to implore. Are we having fun yet? Anybody can go to sleep while I'm preaching? You're narcoleptic. Don't expect me to ride home with you tonight. We gonna be dead. Are we having fun yet? And we wonder why. We wonder why we have politicians who say nice things about animals. Because we're getting the leadership we deserve. You remember me? Because we do not enter the battle upon our feet, but rather upon our knees. I exhort that first of all, supplications. What is the word supplication or supplicate? It's simple, very straightforward. It's imploring. This is what makes prayer a battle. This is why most of us don't pray. Because you have to mean business with God when you go talk to Him. Imploring. Sometimes you have to knock on the door repeatedly. Luke chapter 11, Luke chapter 18. Sometimes you just have to keep coming back and keep coming back and keep coming back. That's imploring. That's supplicating. That's work. That's a battle. That's a wrestle. I'll not let thee go till you bless me. Which of you having a friend shall come to him at midnight and say, friend, I have friends that have come in journey and I have nothing to set before them. Will you arise and give me as many loaves as I ask? And his friend on the inside says, leave me alone. The door's shut and the locks, the bedroom windows are shut and the door's locked and my children are in bed. Go home. But his friend keeps knocking. Until the light comes on. Until the light comes on inside that house. And there's someone standing at that door with an arm full of bread. And Jesus said, did he give him all those loaves because he was his friend? Read your Bible. He gave him all those loaves because of the guy knocking on the doors, importunity or persistence. You remember the words that Stum lathered up, Baptist preacher. God wants to arise and give you as many loaves as you need. He just wants to know how serious you are about it. Because listen to me, prayer doesn't change God. God wants to do it.
That's good preaching.
But if you'll keep knocking, prayer will change you.
Right.
It will change you. That first of all, supplications, prayers. The word prayer means to ask. And as I quoted earlier, we have not because we ask not. First of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, standing in the gap. Mate, look at me. I'm nobody. You are rightful. You have every right to dislike me. And I'm not saying anybody is. I can be harsh. I can be loud. I come across as arrogant. I come across as dogmatic. And most people don't like that. But I'm standing here tonight because Mama wouldn't take no for an answer. And Mama prayed for me. And Mama didn't pray once. And she didn't pray twice. She prayed a multitude of times. I think that's a pretty good indication that woman loved me. And I'm standing here tonight as a 66-year-old man who has preached over 1,040 revival meetings in the last 48 years, throwing his voice out, making friends and loved ones all across this country. Because I had a mama who implored, beseeched, begged, who prayed and asked God to do something to her boy. In fact, he always does exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He called my brother to preach too.
Amen.
And not only that, but she has two nephews that are pastoring right this moment.
Yes, sir. That's right. That's good.
She has a grandson who's in full-time gospel music. Mm-hmm. Because he always does, Brian, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. But that persistent praying and intercession, it doesn't change God's mind. God wants to do it all along. He wants you changed. He wants you altered. And that's exactly what prayer does. First of all, supplications, prayer, intercessions, and giving of thanks. Which brings me to my text. We're finally there. I will therefore. Let's just go ahead and read it. I didn't get to read the whole thing. He said for kings. He said we're to pray, supplicate, and intercede, and give thanks. Be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due season, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Look at the word, I will therefore. In light of all he said, the word therefore is in what he has said for the first seven verses. I will therefore that men pray everywhere. Because God's tore down our hedges. And all they that pass by do pluck at her. Psalm 80, verse 5. The wild beast of the field doth devour her, and everyone that passes by doth pluck at her. We've got animals roaming our streets looking for our children to either steal them or pump them full of drugs or kill them or rape them. All they that pass by do pluck at her. Why? Because God is angry at the prayerlessness of his people. If my people, are we having fun yet? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and what? And what's the response to that? And then shall I hear from heaven and heal your land. We need to pray. And Paul said, I exhort you, I challenge you, I beseech you, I plead with you, pray. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere in three things. Here's the rest of my outline, all in this verse of Scripture. Here's how we're supposed to pray. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Three things. Three things that we're supposed to do with these hands. Three things. We're supposed to lift them up. lifting up, we're supposed to praise God in prayer. Lifting up, holy hands without wrath and doubting. We're supposed to pray. When Jesus was asked the question, Lord, teach us to pray, what was the first thing he said? Go get your book by somebody by the name of E.M. Bounds. No, he said, when you pray this way. This is the outline of prayer, not the prayer we're supposed to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May I just for, seriously, just in passing, tell you I practice what I preach. And when the Bible says, when you pray, lift up holy hands and pray our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He's saying the first thing you do when you get alone with me is just tell me how wonderful I am. And his name shall be called Wonderful. Did you know that that is a prayer outline? Seriously. Think about this. That passage of scripture, which is a prophecy concerning the life of Christ, is a 4-point outline for prayer. And his name should be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. When we pray, we say, his name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, master of everything. His name is wonderful. You know, look at me, folks. If you won't do that in prayer, I don't expect you to do it in a congregation. And we don't see the praising of God in the congregation is because most people don't praise God in the closet. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And his name should be called Wonderful Counselor. What better place can we go to get wisdom?
That's right.
Isn't that good outline?
That's right.
I've prayed it in that order. Counselor, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God, who giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. His name should be called Wonderful. Spend time praising him. Look at me. I mean this from all sincerity, Donald. I mean this, buddy, with all sincerity. After you've spent 10, 15 minutes of just praising God and thanking him and calling his name out and praising his glory and thanking him for everything that comes down the pike, for the good things and the bad things, it makes you shrink and insignificant, and it makes him expand in insignificance. And you realize, he's that wonderful. I need his counsel. His name should be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. And as I said before, God's on his throne, receiving from the seraphims and the cherubims and the angels and the heavenly host the praise and glory that is due his name. He spoke the worlds into existence and saved our old lost wretched souls and made the life we live right now possible and sweet. And we have not because we ask not. All we've done with our prayerlessness is we've chained the hands of omnipotence instead of letting him go and turning him loose on our situations. Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give good gifts to them that ask? You boys, you didn't do anything wrong, so I'm picking you out. I'm not picking you out because you did anything wrong. I promise you didn't. Someday you're going to be fathers. If you have sons and daughters, I promise you, you'll begin to look at them like your daddy and mama looks at you. And you'll come to the conclusion, if I love these little brats, my mom and daddy loved me when I was a brat. You never know how much your parents love you until you have children of your own. Everlasting Father. Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. Paul said when you pray, lift up exalting hands. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Second of all, we're to lift up, as the scripture says, exalting hands, lift up holy hands, H-O-L-Y, exemplary. He was wondering how I was going to get an E word to fit the outline. Exemplary hands. Back when I was in school, we got grades like that. We got our A, B's, and C's, and D's, and I knew a few of them. But every now and then, at the bottom of the comment page of the report card, the teacher would say, George has exemplary study habits. Or George or Butch, whatever they called me back then, whatever. And some of the teachers did call me Butch because that was my nickname. George is an exemplary student. Or he's an exemplary friendly boy. You know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to lift up holy hands. I'll not dwell long on this one. But Isaiah 59 verse 1 says, God's ear is not heavy that it cannot hear, nor his arm short that it cannot save, but our sins have separated us from him. And David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The Bible says, if I turn away my ear from the cry of the needy, even God shall not hear me in my day of calamity. And if God's word is an abomination to me, my prayer is I'm an abomination to him. You know what God wants out of us? Spend time in his light, and we'll see ourselves as unholy sinners. And we'll confess our faults, and we'll confess our sins, and we'll say, God, I'm a sinner. That sweet time I had in prayer this morning, it just got sweet because I realized I have a great need. And I have a great God. I am just an old sinner. You know, you could say anything bad about me and probably be true. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all righteousness. If a man say he's without sin, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. If any man sin, we have a mediator, a propitiation for our sins, but not our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up exalting hands, lifting up exemplary hands, lifting up holy hands, and last of all, here's my third E, empty hands. Without wrath or doubting. Lift up those hands in prayer and praise and glorify his name. Because listen to me, friends, he inhabits the prayers of his people. You want him to show up, start praising him. You want to see how fast he moves? Praise him. You want to see how quick he moves when we remove the obstacles? And that's what sin is. Sin is an obstacle that we have to remove from the path of a loving and kind God. Let men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without empty hands. Empty hands. Without wrath. Did you know that Jesus, I just read that a few minutes ago when I was sitting on the front row. there for you. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, without wrath and doubting, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he shall have come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. I'm going to just tell you this while it's crossing my mind. The other day, last week, I was using my Chrysler 300 to haul a ladder. I had a guy come out to the camp, and he dug out the gutters for me. Climbed up that ladder. I had no way to haul that. I'm having fun with this one. I had no way, and it was a big ladder. I could have carried it across the length of the camp, but I ain't that dumb. You don't work harder, you just work smarter, right? So I opened up the trunk of that Chrysler 300 and stuck that thing in there. And I scraped some of the paint. Now, I don't like that. He'd worked for an hour or so cleaning out that one set of gutters. And he had dirt all over that ladder. I said, come on, Les, I'll help you. Haul the ladder down to the next job. Put it in there, and dirt got on the floor of my trunk. And I didn't like that. Because that's my car. And from that moment on, I started asking God, Lord, I need a truck. And honestly, I started looking that day. When I took that boy home, I started looking that day for an old beat-up pickup truck. I wasn't even going to have it licensed. I wasn't going to have it licensed. I was just going to put it on the campgrounds and use it to haul paint and garbage and mowers and stuff I get around and beat the truck up. So I went to some of the dealerships, the little rinky-dink mom-pa dealerships, to find me a truck under $1,000. Couldn't find one. Couldn't find one. So I asked God, Lord, I'd like to have a truck. And she gave me the brilliant idea to post on Facebook. You say, well, I asked God. And let me tell you this little sidebar. Dear old preacher Oscar McCullum, he was 78 years old when I first met him, and I was 37. He was older than my dad. He said, George, you need to get up in front of people and you need to tell them what your need is and be bold about it and tell them. And I said, Brother McCullum, here's what I said to him. I said, Brother McCullum, that's hard. I can't do that. He said, you need to get over that, son. Because we have not. He said, tell God and then tell everybody. That's what he said. Shall men heap unto your bosom? Remember, there's a God up in heaven who said, come to me like I'm your father, and I'm a lot better than your father. I'm good and kind and sweet, and I'll give you exceeding abundantly. I get a call less than 2 days later, and a guy anonymously said, I got you a truck. All you have to go now is down to Tri-City Auto, which is down near Burnside, and sign the papers, and it's yours. And it wasn't $1,000 beat up. It was a $7,000 Silverado.
Amen.
Wish he'd do that for me. Why not? Why not? Use it for God. You'll be amazed how quick you can get stuff from God when you decide to use it for Him. I, therefore, that men should pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath or doubting. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things ye should desire, when ye pray, believe that ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them. And when you stand, now listen to me, friends, without wrath and doubting. And when ye stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. The reason why we don't have, my dear friends, is because we're mad at somebody or somebody's mad at us. Yes, that's good preaching. We've got bitterness. Paul said, husbands, be not bitter against your wives, lest your prayers be hindered.
That's right.
I'm getting along with her. Not because she's just a good woman, and she is. I'm getting along with her because I want to get along with him.
Amen.
That sounds terrible. And she knows where she stands. She's a good second place.
Amen.
And guess what? I don't want to be first place in her life. If God is first place in her life, she will love me.
Yeah.
And if God is first place in my life, I will love her. That's just, you couldn't go to a family life seminar and get it better told to you. If we regard iniquity in our hearts, the Lord will not hear us. Lifting up holy hands, empty hands, without wrath or doubting. And with this, I'm through. Jesus Christ said, when you pray, and there you remember that your brother hath an ought against thee. Leave there thy gift, and first go reconcile thyself to thy brother, and then come offer your gift. But if you don't do that, that person, listen to me, read it for yourself. That person that has an ought against you, or you have an ought against them, will turn you over to the judge, and the judge will turn you over to the prison keeper, and the prison keeper will throw you in jail, and Jesus Christ said you will stay there until you've paid the uttermost farthing. Most of our lives are messed up because we won't go back and get problems that we've had come up in our lives right.
That's good. That's right. That's absolutely. Yep.
And that prison is not, listen to me, that prison doesn't have locks or bars. The prison house of bitterness, the prison house of despair, the prison house of sickness, the prison house of bankruptcy, the prison house of waywardness, the prison house of never being able to get two ends to meet, and there you'll stay. Until you've paid the uttermost farthing. Pray for your enemies. Pray for them that despitefully use you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. And if you won't forgive them, God in heaven will forgive you.
Yes.
For what measure you measure, it shall be measured back unto you. He said, when you pray, lift up exalting hands and praise me. Lift up exemplary hands that are holy and clean and righteous. And lift up empty hands without wrath and doubting. Whatsoever you ask in faith believing, it shall be done unto you. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I exhort, therefore, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and those in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness. I will therefore that men pray always, pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. How's your prayer life tonight? Your prayer life is only as good as your personal private life. And your prayer life tonight is only as successful as we are with getting right with one another. How much more shall your Heavenly Father give good gifts to them that ask. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands except for this one thing. You're here tonight and you're not sure you're saved. I'll tell you right now, right up front, dear lost friend, the Bible says God heareth not sinners. The only prayer he'll hear you pray is, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the first prayer he will hear you pray if you humbly turn to him for the forgiveness of sins. And he will answer that one quicker than you can say your name. Brother Griffiths, I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me right now? Just slip your hand up right where you are. Man, woman, boy, or girl, I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me right now. All right, everybody here saved? With maybe the exception of some of these little babies? I exhort, therefore, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. I will, therefore, that men pray always, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. We've been exhorted tonight to become men and women of prayer. I'm telling you, young people, God is looking for a young man or a young woman that will pray. You can start your prayer life now. Before you go to bed or when you first get up, get alone with God and talk to him. Let him develop you into the person that he needs for you to fight his battles in the prayer closet. Mom and Daddy, have your children caught you praying? Seriously. Yes, we don't pray to be seen. But would it be a bad thing that you have such a regular prayer life that once in a while your children stumble in on you praying? Would it be such a bad thing? Don't you think that that would make them... Don't you think that that would be a prettier sight in their eyes to see their mama on their knees or their daddy on their knees or both of them together on their knees weeping and getting a hold of God? Don't you think that that would be something that they need to see? They need to know out of mama and daddy? Hey, kids. Would it be such a bad thing for your mom to come in and wake you up one morning and you're already on your knees and you're talking to God and she stands or he stands there for a few seconds and then backs away and closes the door because they didn't want to interrupt you praying? I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Could we not have some young people tonight to commit themselves to pray? Could we not have some mamas and daddies tonight commit themselves and grandmas and grandpas to commit themselves to pray? Lord, help me to pray. Help me to pray more. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the liberty you allowed this unworthy servant to have one more time. I sure do love you and appreciate it for it, my Lord. You are always better to me than I deserve. And I know in my heart, Lord, that you don't bless me because I'm better than anyone else. You just bless me because I trust you. And you're a good God. And you're that good Father who does exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. May somebody in this room tonight catch that great truth and teach us to pray. Teach us to pray.
Oh, God. Get a hold of our hearts and teach us to pray.